Hello, everyone. Welcome to Paradigm Shifters. Who are paradigm shifters? People that are making a difference. I kind of see it as putting waves into the collective of human consciousness, helping us to evolve or really feel the advancement of our species. Or is that just too optimistic? Anyway, we have someone today who's a wonderful purveyor of consciousness, and he's going to explain a lot about music, meditation, Meraki, the science of creative consciousness, and anything else we can get him to talk about. Welcome to the show, David, and you've been on before. David Eisen.
Hey, Veronica. How's it going?
It's going really well. Oh. We've talked before, and I'm really eager to hear what you're up to now. You do some amazing music in itself, but that's not all you do, huh?
No, that's not all we do. It's interesting, the practice that we're bringing forward, which we're calling Meraki, the science of creative consciousness.
Is that an actual interpretation of that word? Or
The word Meraki is an ancient Greek word, and it means to put your essence in your work.
Oh.
That's what that means. And then I've been doing creative consciousness for a long time. And so now these things are coming together, the idea of putting your essence into your work, along with the practice and of the science of creative consciousness, which is all about learning how you choose what you choose, and learning the practices that help to bring forward the essential self, and also, coming to understand how to celebrate the joy of incarnation.
Now, let me just do a funny little sidebar here. Quite often I think of us and our essential self as being like a musical note, or being a musical, a
frequency,
vibrational.
A frequency.
Yeah. I think of us as all, we are all musical in a way. And if we learn to work ourselves, the dissonance can be, neutralized, healed.
Resolved.
Yeah, and the harmony becomes very creative, doesn't it?
It can, yes.
I had to throw that in because I know that you're a real wizard of music, and I thought, when we're talking about creative consciousness, I just had to put my two bits worth in, David.
I understand that, yeah, Veronica.
So let's further that. This is a really interesting subject.
The essential self of within consciousness is part of a triangle, of a triad of identity structures, and on one side is what we call the bifurcated nature, or the shape of the dualistic mind of consciousness, and we call it bifurcation. And then there is an aspect of consciousness called the manufactured self, which this aspect is the essence of identity that comes forward in response to the vicissitudes of daily life. And then on the other side of those two things is the essential self. So
what are we born with, David?
You come in with the bifurcated nature, and you come in with the essential self.
The bifurcated nature is the consciousness of duality.
Right.
Is that right?
And it's the form of duality. And we say that consciousness is inherently bifurcated. And also there is the essential self, which is the aspect of consciousness that is in full unity. And it's not unity that is a noun. This is very important. It's unity functioning as a verb. So a big part of creative consciousness is the understanding of the distinction between a noun and a verb. And we like to say that we're moving consciousness out of the noun into the verb. You know, Bucky Fuller had a great book in 1968 called I Am a Verb.
Ah.
You know, and so I think that's great. And
well, can I just interrupt you again for a moment and say, well, what exactly is consciousness? Are you talking about it as being...
I'll give you the definition of consciousness.
Well, I just want to be clear about something I'm asking, which is, do you see or do you perceive a huge ball of consciousness that we tap into as individuals, or do you think every individual is uniquely that we each have our own consciousness? Do you see
both.
What I'm saying? Okay.
Both. So there is the great, the universal, mm-hmm. and then there's the individual. And so we have as
above, so
below.
So the universal is the infinite provision of what's possible?
You know, that's an aspect of it. That's not it.
Okay.
You know, that's an aspect of it for sure. But it's helpful in the creative consciousness in the Meraki land to understand the personal and the individuated nature. Mm. The essential self is the aspect of consciousness that is the function of unity. It is functioning as unity.
You mean it's not individualistic?
I didn't say anything about that.
That's how I interpreted it, so that's a good thing that we can clarify
that.
Yeah.
Each individual human... has its own unique individual consciousness, which is that is a part of the collective consciousness, and you can go on and on and on.
But that is our essential self, isn't it? The unique part of me, that unique.
That is, and that aspect of you is distinct from the bifurcated nature, which is inherently dual, inherently bifurcated.
Responsive.
And in that aspect of consciousness, it functions according to the nature of the function of duality. And then there's the aspect of the essential self, which is functioning according to the essence of unification and as a verb. So in the aspect of bifurcation, we say that the presence of bifurcation creates the drive to unification.
Okay.
So, and if you look at all down the timeline of history and you look at all of the spiritual traditions that have ever been, every single one of them is about learning how to address the issue of polarity or duality.
Okay.
Every single system is about that. And you have various and sundry interpretations of that. You have Zen guys doing their Zen thing. You have Buddhists doing their Buddhist thing. You have Christians doing the Christian thing, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And all of these systems are dealing with the existence and the presence of duality and how that needs to be resolved.
Mm-hmm.
And so what they're really saying is that consciousness is inherently bifurcated and the presence of bifurcation creates the drive to unification. All of the systems.
Is the drive to unification a drive to meditation and the various things
that are streamline? Those are vehicles to help that happen.
Okay.
That's why those things exist. And that's another part of this understanding about the presence of bifurcation and the fact that consciousness is continuously seeking unification. It's what we come to understand is that the function of bifurcation. Bifurcation or duality is a shape. It's an architecture. It's a form. Duality is a shape.
Right.
It's a form. So we need to understand that. And then we need to understand that a form and a function, we need to understand that. And so bifurcation is an architectural form. It has a shape. And the shape of bifurcation produces a specific form of consciousness. We say consciousness is inherently bifurcated. So
is that like the tension between temple bells or something that has
a... This is, again, the poles of duality are ever present. And so we come to understand that the shape of duality produces one area or one layer or one domain of consciousness, And we see that, in fact, the brain is hardwired into the form of duality at one layer. And so
here, one layer.
Yeah, there are other layers, and that's what we're that's what we get to. But initially, bifurcation is inherent. Consciousness is inherently bifurcated. Mm. Bifurcation produces the drive to unification. So what we see is that the shape of bifurcation produces many aspects of behavior and of consciousness. The shape of bifurcation produces the need for validation and recognition on the external, on the part of the individual.
So you mean it's like success and failure, goals and
ambitions, etc.
Yeah,
and these things are possessiveness, territory, territorial behavior, war, the idea of getting or acquisition, possessiveness, you know, territory, jealousy, things of
getting
this,
and spending, getting, lay waste our hours,
and getting, and getting, and getting, and so you could go and you could start talking about the essence of craving, and that craving equals wanting equals getting, and these essences, these functions, are in fact products of the bifurcated nature. So the need for validation and the need for recognition comes from the architecture of the shape and the form and the function of bifurcation.
Do you think that there's a creative realm in the center of those opposites? Is that why we have that? Is that,
well, that's
what that
a different that's a different aspect, but the answer to that is yes, but that's not
what you're talking
germane
about.
In this exact place.
Okay.
And in a certain sense, that's a little ahead of this, of the point that I'm making.
Oh, okay.
So the point that I'm making is that as long as consciousness is acting, which acting is how you choose what you choose. And how you choose what you choose creates behavior. Behavior, you become what you're choosing. How you choose what you choose creates behavior. And then the choices that you make produce results. And we're in creative consciousness and in the practice of Meraki, we are concerned with understanding the process of how we choose what we choose, mm-hmm. and how results come forward, which ultimately means that we're really looking at the nature of intent and how is intent formulated? Mm-hmm. How does intent get produced? Well, if you start with this notion that consciousness is inherently bifurcated, and the presence of bifurcation creates possessiveness, jealousy, territory, war, getting, etc., etc. These are all behaviors. And if you start with, again, the shape, the architecture of bifurcation, you can see that one of the primary essences that comes forward within this context of this shape is the need for validation and recognition from the external world. Mm. And so the words need for validation, etc., that defines intent. That's what intent is. Intent is the energy that you apply when you seek to fulfill a need or get what you want. And so now we're doing good there. We're looking good. We see that the intent is born of the need for validation and recognition, which is born of the architecture of the shape of bifurcation. And then we can see, so the shape of bifurcation is inherent in consciousness, and that produces the intention to get, And the first thing that you want to get is validation and love from outside of yourself. You can see then that that intention produces the process of how you choose what you choose. Mm-hmm. Because all the choices that you're going to make within the container of bifurcation are going to be to satisfy this need.
And do you think that that need is the same in all, for example, the essential self?
I mean, someone does not have that need.
Oh, I was thinking that someone might have the need for validation and someone else
all consciousness might have a different... and bifurcation has the need and drive for validation from the external world.
Oh, okay.
And the essential self is the aspect of consciousness that does not have that need. That is what this practice is about in One Land. It's about moving the consciousness into the aspect of self-love and self-recognition and self-love. And the essential self is that. It is the aspect of consciousness, if you will, that is bereft of need at that level.
It's the I am?
It is the I am, and it is, if you will, the I am that I am. And that is the unity that I'm referring to. That is that function, the I am that I am, is in fact a generative form. It is a creative force. And that's what I mean by unity as a function, not as a noun. Mm-hmm. So unification is actually functioning as a verb at this level. So when we talk about the practice of creative consciousness or the science of creative consciousness, we're talking about moving the consciousness from the duality into the unity in order for the consciousness to begin the process of how it chooses what it chooses out of the realm of unification, as opposed to choosing how it's choosing what it's choosing out of the realm of bifurcation.
Okay.
That is the journey that we're on, and we're all on this journey. All consciousness is doing this exact thing, whether we know it or not, mm-hmm. Whether we know it or not, all consciousness is doing this. And this is, for me and for this work, nothing else is important. This is the most important thing, and it is the most timely thing. The world that we live in now is the, if you will, the sum total of the bifurcated nature at work. The world that we're living in right now is the ultimate manifestation of the need for validation and recognition on this part of the external. It is the ultimate manifestation of the energy of craving and wanting and getting and desire. Mm-hmm. And all of these things have been addressed for millennia. Mm-hmm. They have been addressed for millennia. And I ask all of you, how's that working out for you? It ain't working out too good. So we need something to shift. Yeah. We don't need to occupy. We don't need to protest this, we do all those things, don't get me wrong. But what we really need to do is shift the consciousness. This is an issue of consciousness. And we've heard that for millennia.
We've sure heard it a lot.
We've heard that for millennia. So I'm here to tell you what it is. Okay, and what
and
it
some
is...
some good examples is, of what can we do.
What it is the movement from bifurcation into unification, which then means that the consciousness is not operating out of the drive for validation and recognition from the external.
So what do we do? Start giving the validation to one another right off the bat so we can get away
with that? No, that's contrary to what I just said.
Okay.
What we do is we learn the practice of Meraki. We learn the practice that develops self-love, that provides the techniques and the practices that resolve the duality inherent in consciousness, which there are. We have very specific techniques that do this now.
Is this a large group? Is this a
There are quite movement? A few people now that are practicing this, I have to say. And there's a lot more than there was a year ago. And it's pretty awesome. And lives are being changed. And as the person develops the self-love and the practice for receiving as opposed to getting. Right. See, this is a huge part of the training, is the movement from getting, which, if you think about it, the idea of needing validation from the external and how that defines your intent, and so now my intent is to get the validation from outside of myself, this becomes
defined by need, really.
Or desire or need, whatever, you know, it's about craving. Mm-hmm. And you see that consciousness, left to its own devices, is running on this need and craving. And that translates into the essence of getting. Everything is about getting. Mm-hmm. And so consciousness thinks, and everything, all these things, the secret, this, all this business, is about getting. It's about magic, the practice of magic, it's about getting. It's all about getting.
Right.
Okay, we're done with that. Mm-hmm. We are training and looking at the process of how receiving is a creative act, that you can create.
It's a verb in itself.
It's a verb in itself. And you can, in fact, create using receiving, mm-hmm, as the primary energy of action. You know, the energy, like getting is an energy. You know, you can create receiving as you receive. So the first place that we find this, then, is a beautiful place, is the receiving of the essential self on the part of the individual. Hmm. And so we understand this, that bifurcation is running the show.
Okay.
And the bifurcated nature and the manufactured self, and the manufactured self, again, is the aspect of consciousness that has come into being in response to all of the daily vicissitudes of life. It's manufactured. You don't come in with that. Mm. You come in with the bifurcated nature, and you come in with the essential self. The bifurcated nature and the manufactured self are creating massive layers on top of the essential self. Mm-hmm. And again, this idea of layers on top of the essential self, and Sankara and Samsara and Parmes and all this business, this has been going on for a millennium. This is nothing new, that part. What's new is that we're done. Okay, we are done, and we're into the business of transforming the essence of the intention of the identity structure.
So is that transforming the bifurcation?
Yes, it is. It is moving from getting into receiving, hmm, and we understand that within the domain of bifurcation, everything is about getting. And then we understand that really inside of the essential self and the beauty of the unity function, it's all about receiving as a creative process. So the first place where we receive is to receive the essential self. One of the things that we want to say very loudly is it's already there. Okay, it's already there. You can't receive something that isn't already there. You have to get it if it's not already there. And if you really think about that, there's a whole lot of stuff going on with that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, lots of scientific method is about that, and proving an hypothesis, and all this business is all about proving something and, you know, needing to prove something and hypothesizing something and then having to reach forward and go get it, instead of just simply observing the reality as it is and receiving what's already there. A very first place of this is the essence of gratitude. Gratitude, we say, is the portal to the higher realms. Why? Because it's already there. And you don't have to get the gratitude. As a matter of fact, if you try to get gratitude, you won't get it. It's already there. It's there for you to receive.
So it's like awaken the expression sort of thing.
It's a very lovely thing. And it's already there. Just like the essential self is already there.
What's the difference between the essential self and the soul or the spirit?
I have
or both?
No idea.
Okay, so you don't
and
include that.
I was an old friend of James Hillman and John Mack and all those boys. And as you well know, I was on the board of directors at the Center for Psychology and Social Change at Harvard for 8 years. And I have been through endless and never-ending debates on the difference between the soul, the self, the this, the that, and it never ends. It never ends. So I know that there's the bifurcated nature that's inherent in consciousness, and that there is an essential self, and that is inherent in consciousness. And I know that there's a manufactured self that comes into being in response to the world around us. And I know that. I don't believe that. I don't need to debate those things. Those are real things. What the soul is, or what the spirit is, which is what Hillman is endlessly debating. And they never answer it. There's never an answer.
Well, you can't answer those things.
You can't, so why bother? That's my point. I don't care. In the end, I can't answer it. And because it's not the right question. It's not a real question.
Well, maybe it's part of the craving.
But yeah, the need to endlessly debate,
right.
And to in fact to debate how you debate, mm-hmm. which is what they're really into, that sells a lot of books, you know, and that makes a lot of psychological sessions, and you know there's a lot of money down that pipeline, not for the practitioners of Mareki. We're done with that.
Okay, so let's get back to Mareki. So you've got people saying, how do you do to your essential self? Is that
yes.
Right?
So here's a beautiful thing. In all of these practices forever and ever and ever, it's always about we need duality's an illusion. We need to get rid of the duality. We need to get rid of the ego aspect. The ego aspect is an illusion. These are the Maya. This is this. This is this.
It's everything's an illusion.
Everything's an illusion. I'm sorry. Duality is not an illusion. It totally exists. It's just not all there is. There's a lot more than just duality, but it exists. You need to go to point A to point B. Sorry. Linear things are linear. I'm speaking in a linear sentence. I'm not speaking, my words are not appearing simultaneously. That's not possible. You can't do it. So.
But is music a nonlinear?
Whatever. I don't even know what that means after a certain point. No. The answer is no. You start a song, it starts. And it plays. It doesn't play backwards. It plays forwards, and this note follows this note, and this note follows this note. And that's a horizontal way of thinking. There's a vertical way of thinking, okay, where the notes appear simultaneously, and they strike all at once, and that makes a chord. And that's simultaneous. And then those chords appear in a linear progression.
Right.
So it's both, isn't it?
I would say, yeah.
Yeah. So again, duality is inherent in the reality. We just said both. Both means duality.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So all this stuff, let's get rid of the duality. It's an illusion, or the ego aspect is bad, and it's an illusion. It's an illusion, and we need to transcend this, and we need to get rid of it, and get behind me, Satan, and go to the light, or go to all these places, you know. No. What happens when you back up an animal into a corner? It comes out swinging. It comes out angry. It comes out protective. It comes out wanting to stay alive. So, get behind me, Satan, stop the ego, put the ego, quiet the mind, still the mind, make this stop. No. Only thing this is doing is making the bifurcated nature, which is the ego aspect. The bifurcated nature is the part of you that keeps you alive. It is the aspect that has saved your life over and over and over and over again. And yes, it is also the part that is filled with destructive, depletive, territorial, nasty stuff. And it's real nasty. And again, how's that working out for you? Just look around. This is really terrible. And this is all the product of the bifurcated nature collectively at work. So all these systems for millennia has been about trying to deal with that. And again, how's that working out for you? It's not working out real good. So something's got to shift.
Right.
Okay? Here's the thing that will shift it. You say, I love you, bifurcated self. I would like to welcome you into my house, into my heart, into my house of becoming. I love you. Come on in. Thank you for helping me. I don't want you to die. I don't want to kill you. I want to unify with you. I want you to be recognized and loved and validated and received. And you know who says that? The essential self. That is who says that. And that is a primary shift that I'm referring to. No more stopping, no more get behind me, no more go away, no more killing, no more nothing.
No separation.
More separation, just love and beauty and unity. And saying, come on in, the water's fine,
right.
And I love you. And the aspect of consciousness that says that is the essential self. And it's the first place where it can really say that, where you can really do that. And when you say, I love you, and come into my house, to the bifurcated nature, guess what? It stops fighting. And it starts the process of resolution. And it becomes, and begins the process of transformation in the heart. That's what happens. So no more killing, no more trying to stop it, trying to make it go away, nothing, just receiving.
So are you having groups of people doing this?
Yes.
And seeing a huge difference?
Yes. And I've been here in Bellingham at Wise Awakening, doing weekly Meraki and Creative Consciousness sound meditations. And they started off, it's been 7 weeks now. And they started off with 20 people. And last Wednesday, there was more people than they had chairs.
Good.
And people had to sit on the floor for the first time. It was really beautiful. And then other people are bringing me all over the country in doing private sessions in this work, and then doing small group sessions across the country.
Well, that's good.
Mm-hmm. And in April, we're going to have our very first 3-day Meraki workshop, and then we're booking those out for once a month across the country.
Who's we? Are you in a group?
I have help now, and it's awesome. I have a whole crew. A lot of these people have been with me for years, but now the practice has developed to such a profoundly functional degree, that it's no longer a philosophy, it's no longer theoretical, it's actually a practice. And that's another thing that I like to mention, is that the thing about this work that is really different is that it is a practice. It's something that you do. And it's not something that you think about or something that you like read in a book and learn.
You call it a meditation?
I call it a practice. And there is certainly, meditation is a major part of it, and movement is a major part of it.
Okay.
Yeah, Qigong and these movements that we're developing is a really big part of it. And food and diet is a really big part of it. And then music, you know, intentional music.
What's intentional music?
Well, intentional music is a term that I have coined. It's so pop music is not intentional music. Pop music is pop music, and we love it, and it's made to sell records or to get you to dance or to get you to cry you know, and all those things. Intentional music is music that has been intentionally created to produce a physiological and psychological effect repeatedly, over and over again.
Hmm.
And I know how to do that.
And like a chant sort of thing?
No, certainly chants do that. But in my case, in Therasound's case, so everybody can go to therasound.com. I've been doing it, as you well know, you know, for 40 years. I mean, I released the first therapeutic piece of music on the market in 1985,
wow.
And that was called Balance. And I've been, and it's a hugely successful thing. Success being not monetary, which is it, but functionally, therapeutically, it mm-hmm. functions. It drops pulse and blood pressure, and you know that I've had studies performed by the National Institute of Health that show that my work and drops pulse and blood pressure and creates the relaxation response.
So you get prescribed.
It's a musical RX at one level, but that's like old lingo. We were talking like that in 1990. This is 2015. Now we're really into Meraki and creative consciousness as a practice. And so music is a huge part of it, and sort of more to the point, vibration, frequency, proportion, and harmony, and the knowledge of architecture and the architecture of certain essences, like the architecture of creation or the architecture of relationship or the architecture of expression mm-hmm. or the architecture of clarification. All of these essences have shapes, and they all, and I happen to know them. And there is a way of composing music that is the harmonic experience value of the proportions that are those essences. So the music is not the representation of those essences. The music is the actual harmonic proportions of those essences.
Oh, that's pretty interesting.
Yeah, and so what happens is when a person experiences the music, they don't experience a representation of the music. They experience the vibrational frequency of the essence of creation, of the essence of expression. And they're, you know, explaining how I do that, it would take, you know, a week, a three-day seminar and just in that. But so intentional music is that. It's music that is designed.
So then a person would come to you and ask for you to set up some music that will intentionally influence their...
Yes, a person will come to me...
Healing of their bifurcation.
A person will come to me as a private practitioner, which happens all the time, for help. And what I'm able to do is through conversation, through observation and looking at a person, I'm able to understand where they are in terms of what level of consciousness are they operating at.
Okay.
And in so doing, we have a thing called the ladder of consciousness. So each rung on the ladder of consciousness is an aspect of bifurcation. And the first rung is the ultimate separation, full-blown duality. And then what happens is as you climb the ladder of consciousness, each rung on the ladder is less and less separation.
Okay.
The degrees of separation decrease. And that, you know, as we say, the presence of bifurcation creates the drive to unification. And the ladder of consciousness is that movement toward the unification. And each rung on the ladder is lesser and lesser degrees of separation. And so the consciousness that is operating at this initial degree of bifurcation is going to behave, and it will choose how you choose what you choose will be according to the function of this particular form. Then as it climbs up several rungs on the ladder and there's a lot more unification, a lot less separation, consciousness will begin to behave in this way.
Okay.
So I'm, as a practitioner, am able to make those discernments. I can see that in a person. And there are very interesting ways of making those determinations.
But for the person to actually change levels of consciousness, mm-hmm. to go up
if
ladder.
You will, if you will, to change the rate of vibration, to yeah. use a yeah. an oft bandied about term.
Frequencies. Yeah, it's just interesting. Okay, so the techniques that you spoke of earlier are for the person that you're working with, the technique is their not meditation, but their focus, their intention.
We teach people practices, mm-hmm. techniques, different practices that are designed to ultimately to help the individual. We say create the conditions that allows the essential self to come forward.
Okay.
That means that we the person learns the difference between getting and receiving as a creative process. That means that the person is learning that what we're doing, our intention, is to learn how we choose what we choose.
Okay.
So there's a process that teaches you how you learn how you choose what you choose.
Is that self-discovery, self-inquiry?
Sure.
So you learn what your motivations are. Your intentions are.
I want to say this right here, that you know, you asked a while ago about what is consciousness, and then really what is the essential self. So I want to say this, that the essential self is the universal laws, that there are these very precise and consistent and constant laws across the universe.
Okay.
And again, they've been spoken about for millennia. The Hermetic tablets, the Emerald tablets, are in fact the description of these universal laws.
Right.
And they've been spoken about forever. So, in fact, the essential self is the universal laws as a function, as a verb.
Right.
Because the laws are functional. That's what they are. They're creative laws. The second thing is that you are the essential self. So you are the universal laws. This is the answer to your thing about the collective and this and the individual and the individual. And this is, you know, this is manifest in as above, so below, and so many other universal laws that discuss this type of thing or that present this type mm-hmm. of thing. So again, the essential self is the aspect of consciousness that is in full functioning unity. And when the consciousness is resonating with this function, it does not have the need for validation and recognition from the external, from outside of itself. It has developed the capacity for self-love. and that has resolved these intense cravings that are at the basis of this world that we live in right now. So, number one. Number two, that's why this thing is coming forward right here, right now, is because we need that to happen in order to resolve the situation that we're experiencing. It's not going to, it's not going to be experienced by fighting the outside. It's going to be resolved by developing the capacity for self-love within, then without. This is the second thing that I'm saying. The third thing is that the essential self is the universal laws, and you are the essential self. And you have the capacity to choose to see that. And that is the first layer of the gift that I'm referring to. That is a beautiful gift. The gift is the gift of you seeing you. And you are the essential self, and the essential self is the universal laws. And that's how you step into the stream of the unification of the whole thing, which is what you asked about in the beginning. Does that make sense?
I think it does. I like some examples so that people at home are kind of intrigued by their own vicarious route through this awakening. It's kind of an awakening, is it?
This is a transformation and a reception. There's a really ancient Kabbalistic treatise called The Bride's Reception.
I've heard of that, actually.
And it is a very famous treatise. I happen to have an original first edition. There's only 125 of those ever printed, and I have one.
Wonderful.
And I've had it for 40 years. And it speaks of the reception, and what they're talking about is the reception of the essential self. That's, you know, why we're teaching the transformation from getting into receiving.
So I guess I'm looking at potential people experiencing this and trying to understand the steps they might go through in order to climb the ladder.
Well, the first thing is to understand that there really is a bifurcated nature and a manufactured self and an essential self. That's the very first thing, is that everybody needs to come and understand that there really is a bifurcated nature and a manufactured self and an essential self. The second thing is people need to understand that that is true.
But they should get the resonance of it.
Once you experience it,
of course.
But you have to see that here's this thing called the bifurcated nature, and it is the architecture of duality, and that you can see it within your consciousness. You can see. And you can see now how you choose what you choose, and you can see yourself choosing based on this function of duality.
Okay.
You can see that. So now, that's the first step. The second step is to know that it's true, that there's no question, there's no belief, there's no faith, there's no nothing. There's the truth. There really is a bifurcated self, there really is a manufactured self, and there really is an essential self. And so that level of truth, and having the student or the person understand that and become that, to receive that, is a big transformation, because we've now addressed the issue of truth in a really nice way. The next step is to understand that there is no magic wand, there is no pill, there is no wand that you can wave over your head that will create this transformation. You must understand that. And so that leads to the fourth thing, which is the choice to do this work. And we call this the constancy of choice, because it's constant. That's why you don't like it. That's why we want the pill. That's why we want the cosmic wand waved over our head.
Right.
That's why we want to go to church. That's why we want Jesus to save us. Sorry, it's up to you. And it's all about your constantly choosing to do it.
Right.
Remember when you go to a chiropractor and you're out of alignment, to use a term?
Right.
The chiropractor looks at you, puts you into alignment, and then 2 weeks later, you're back out of alignment again. And you go back to the chiropractor and you get another treatment. Okay? Same thing. You choose and you choose and you choose. You choose to embrace the essential self and do all this work, and then, you know, right away, quick, you snap right out of that. And so that's why we want the pill. That's why we want the cosmic wand, because it's so much work. And that's why it hasn't happened. And but if you think about it, every single, that's why a spiritual tradition exists.
Right.
That's why it's there. That's why all the self-help guru stuff exists. That's why there's this gigantic industry of self-help.
Right.
That's why. One more thing.
Please.
The fifth thing is, after you've accepted the truth of the essential self, the bifurcated nature, and the manufactured self, and after you've understood that it takes the constancy of choice to continue this work, and that there is no pill and no cosmic wand, the last thing is that you choose to embrace the bifurcated nature, and you say, I love you, and come into my heart. And this is made possible by accessing the essential self, because it is the essential self that is saying that. And if you remember, the essential self is the universal laws. You are the essential self, and you have the choice to choose to see that. And the place where you learn how you learn that, where you experience that, is when you say, I love you, come into my heart, and thank you very much for being so helpful and so beautiful to me. And the person that says that is the essential self. Those are the five stages.
So it's a real communion.
Right.
Wow. Well, that's really a lot of food for thought, actually. So tell people how to get hold of you, how to hear some of your music, David. We didn't get to your music, and I know it's absolutely beautiful.
Well, I appreciate that. So real quick, you can
Or transcendent.
Transformative, transcendent, and just really beautiful. Therasound, Therasound, therasound.com. And then we're launching, it's already there, we're launching our new site called davideisen.net.
Okay.
You can see that. And then...
And Ison is I-S-O-N.
I-S-O-N. And then, as you know, I have a huge Facebook presence. And there is stuff happening now on our Facebook page that is so amazing and is wonderful. And there are thousands of people on this page all day, every day, having the most incredible conversations, talking back and forth, and sharing the beauty of this knowledge in all of its various guises.
So is the Facebook page called?
Davideisen.
Oh, Davideisen, not the science of creation.
No, just go to Davideisen at Facebook, and you'll be amazed. People, it's a really nice thing.
Great. And are you on it a lot?
I view, and I'm pretty unique in this way, I view my Facebook page as a radio show, as a daily radio show. And so I play Facebook like I play doing a radio.
Great.
And you know I've had tons of radio experience. And so I view the Facebook experience as a daily radio show. And so I'm always updating it every when I can, every hour, every whatever. And so by the end of the day, there'll be thousands of people and they'll be talking about what we're posting. And it's really beautiful.
Great. It's wonderful. Yeah. Good news. So you're having a, you're saying that this, it's not a movement, this awakening is spreading quite well.
I appreciate that, Veronica, in that recently, the last meditation that I did last Wednesday, everything changed. And I became a conscious social activist, which is what I've been gearing for so many years. And I can see now that Meraki and the science of creative consciousness really is a movement. And it's just beginning.
It's picking up speed.
And it's coming out of Bellingham, Washington. Isn't that amazing?
That's great.
Out of the edge of the world.
Yeah.
Right here.
Right here.
Edge of the world.
It's with so the eagles.
Awesome. With the eagle. Did you see the eagle?
Well, I've got my back here.
Yeah, you just turn around.
Oh, yes, I have seen that one.
Pretty awesome, huh? A gift from the Lummi Nation.
Wonderful.
Yeah,
wonderful.
Amazing.
Great stalwart presence.
Great stalwart presence. So thank you very much for talking to me today.
Well, thank you so much for talking to all of us, David. Mm-hmm. And good work. Very impressive. Thank you.
Already now.